Shut up and sit down.
Hello and welcome to Futures Focus. Opening day week is here. Finally. My name is Alex Sanchez. This is a podcast brought to you by Prospects 1500. David Gasper joining me per usual. How's it going over there, David?
Oh, it's going good, man. I'm ready for some opening day. We got AAA opening day already here. So I'm excited, man. I'm pumped.
As am I. We're coming at you a little bit later. I think it's going to work out okay because we had to push back the recording. This is birthday month. I got daughter's birthday, wife's birthday, mother's birthday, and father's birthday all within a span of about 15 days. It's nuts. So I'm lucky to even have a chance to get this done right now, but it's opening day. And here we are.
Here we are, man. It's finally here. Rob Manfred tried to prevent it, but we're here.
We have so much to talk about. I don't even know where to begin, to be honest with you. I mean, we have the biggest news and notes section ever. We're not even going to be able to talk about all this because we have bold predictions we have to get to. I have to talk about how good our predictions were. I'm not going to say great, but they were pretty good predictions based on last year. I listened back to that episode. I don't know if you've had a chance to or not, but we did pretty darn good, honestly. We did pretty darn good. So I'll get to that as well. I mean, there's just loads to talk about, but let's just go with the news and notes right away because we have a ton of prospects that are going to be making their debut here in a day or two on Thursday and or Friday. I'm just going to go through the list of guys that we're hoping to see start. I'm assuming they're going to be starting. If they bring these guys up, they got to be starting is what I say. So I'm just going to list the big ones and I want you to tell me who you're most excited for. That's going to be pretty tricky, I think. But we have Josh Lowe, Bobby Witt, Bryson Stott, Julio Rodriguez. Are you kidding me? Spencer Torkelson, and looks like CJ Abrams. Are you joking? Who are you most excited? Is it even possible to pick one?
Do I have to pick just one?
I want you to, but then you can say, okay. But I'm also excited.
Okay, so the first... I think I got to be most excited for Bobby Witt, right? I mean, he's the number one prospect on pretty much most lists. He's going to be the shortstop of the future for the Kansas City Royals. He's got, you know, everything you could really kind of be looking for. You know, he's got the bloodlines, he's got the hit tool, he's got the power, he's got the speed. I mean, he's got what you want. So I'm really excited for Bobby Witt. I'm excited to see him. I'm really excited that the Kansas City Royals brought him up on the opening day roster. And this is something that I've been saying for the past couple of weeks. If anyone is going to bring these guys up for opening day, it would probably be Dayton Moore and the Royals. And I was right that they would, but also a lot of others have joined in as well. I mean, the Tigers with Spencer Torkelson, that's something that's really exciting. Also another big one here, Riley Green probably would have made the opening day roster, but he fractured his foot. He fouled a pitch off his foot, so Riley Green is going to miss the first bit of the season with an injury, so he's not going to make that start. I would have been really excited for him and Torkelson combined together in Detroit, but instead it's just Torkelson there. But that's another one that's really exciting for me, and it was really exciting to see you know, Miguel Cabrera give him the first baseman's mitt, you know, kind of cemented, you know, the passing of the torch here. Another one that, I mean, God, you could just go on and on here, but Julio Rodriguez, I mean, I was a little bit more surprised, yes, that Julio got the call right away. And did you see the video the Mariners put out, basically of Scott Service giving the news to Julio? That was just, that's heartwarming stuff, man. Like that just, that gives you goosebumps.
Eye jerker for sure. And that's what I was actually going to bring that up.
Tear jerker, not eye jerker.
Well, that you, yeah.
That come on, man.
Eye jerker. Well, I cried so much, I guess my.
Oh man.
It's awesome, and if you haven't seen it, I'm sure you can find it on Twitter somewhere. But, I mean, is this happening? Is MLB actually sort of getting these young studs marketed out so that the young people can be excited about them and our sport can grow. It just, we've complained about that for years and years and years. And here we are getting all sorts of cool things like the Julio video, Bobby Witt's coming up. I mean, some of these, the mitt for Torkelson, like you said, these are the things that are cool and are going to sell the brand, right? I mean, that's pretty exciting too. I think it's a little bit, but.
Yeah, especially the Julio video. I mean, the video of, in the manager's office, him breaking the news to him, seeing the reaction, you know, watching him realize his dreams coming true, you know, in real life, in real time. That's something that, that's incredibly exciting, I think would really help grow the game. And, you know, really, I mean, when we look at the CBA talks, I mean, this past offseason, there's a lot of focus on, you know, trying to make sure that teams weren't manipulating service time and, you know, we could get these guys called up. You know, in previous years, a lot of these guys, they'd be kept down for the first at least, you know, 2-3 weeks of the season so the team could get an extra year or two of control. But that's not happening here. These guys are coming up, and the only guys that are being kept down really, you know, in like the top 10 here are Riley Green, who's hurt, and Adley Rutschman, who's hurt. I mean, that's the only reason those guys aren't making the opening day roster. I mean, this is something incredible that MLB is doing a lot, that, you know, these teams are calling these guys up and they're putting them on the opening day roster because they deserve to be there. And then we have the Pirates sending down O'Neill Cruz and Ron.
Unless you play for the Pirates. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you play for the Pirates, they're still in the olden times. They're not with the new times now. But that's the Pirates, so that's almost really to be expected.
Yeah, and of course, talking about O'Neill Cruz and Ronzi Contreras, both we won't be seeing right away. They got some flack for that, whereas these other teams were getting celebrated, as they should. I mean, Julio being up is just going to be freaking awesome. And the thing is, these guys all earned it, which is nice to see. You know, remember the good old days? You got to earn your job in spring training. Like, that's back now. Like, these guys all had huge springs where if you send him down, it was just so obvious. So the problem is O'Neill Cruz had a great spring too and didn't do anything.
It's the Pirates.
Okay, here's what we're going to do for the news and notes. It's just too intense. We almost have to make a whole episode on the news and notes. So I'm going to just give you some a piece of news, and then I want you to give me one sentence reaction. Okay?
All right.
Like, you know how we like to do rapid fire stuff here, okay?
Sure, yeah.
And I'll chime in on a few that I think I have a sentence that'll be useful. But Luis Matos starting in high A.
Love to see it.
Yuri Perez at double A.
That is absolutely incredible. And I think this dude's an incredible pitching prospect. And he's going to be starting against Biloxi, facing Garrett Mitchell and Joey Weimer. So I'm going to love to see that.
Nick Lodolo looks like he might make that rotation.
I mean, they got plenty of openings in that Cincinnati Reds rotation, so I'm not surprised.
Jeremy Pena looks to be the starting shortstop for the Houston Astros.
Give him a shot. I mean, Carlos Correa's gone, so now there's no one blocking him.
Diego Castillo led the world in home runs for the Pirates, and he's going to be the starting shortstop or some sort of starting spot for the Pirates.
Well, at least they didn't send him down to AAA.
Tucker Davidson looks like he's a spot for the Braves, which I'll take this one because I'm the Braves guy, I guess. So yeah. Underrated left low ceiling guy, but to beat out the other arms that he did is pretty impressive because you had Kyle Mueller getting set down. Stephen Kwan is going to make his big debut here, hopefully as a starting right fielder for the Guardians.
Yeah, they need some outfield help, so good to see Kwan get a shot.
That's a dark horse rookie of the year candidate. I mean, if these other, I mean, the problem is everybody's so stacked, but like if those other guys kind of, you know, something happens and he's the dark horse. He might just hit 315 this year for just FYI.
Yeah.
Matt Brash is going to be in the rotation for the Seattle Mariners.
Filth machine. I absolutely love it.
Cade Cavalli is not going to be in the rotation for the Nationals.
Didn't he give up like 11 runs to the Cardinals in one inning? You know, maybe he needs some seasoning still.
Yes. We might see Caleb Killian within the first 2 or 3 months of the season because he's opening up at AAA.
I mean, there's plenty of opportunities for him at the big league level. So, you know, he could come up pretty soon.
Is C.J. Abrams going to be the starting right fielder for the Padres?
Man, the Padres have such a position player mess, man. I mean, it's, I mean, if he can handle it, sure, but it's really kind of an odd spot for him, I think.
Yeah, I mean,
you know Abrams better than me.
Yeah, I imagine that if that's like the backup plan when Tatis is back and there's just too many spots, too many players for not enough spots would be my guess. I still got plenty of news and notes. I mean, Hunter Green, I don't know if we were on the air last time when it was official that he's going to be in the rotation. A couple of guys, you know, we were kind of hoping maybe Nolan Gorman could break camp, but he doesn't. DL Hall, that inning he threw looked like he might be making it. Nick Prado also looked like he might be making it. MJ Melendez also looked like he might be making it. Those guys do not make the major league roster, but we're going to be seeing them soon. I mean, we have so many. I can't remember a time where there are so many prospects this close to the majors at the top of lists. Like, this list for top prospects in June is going to look so different than it is right now. It's going to be incredible.
Yeah, man, I'm absolutely pumped for it. I mean, you're going to have so many graduations and, you know, really this young wave of talent coming forward. It's exciting for the game and exciting for a lot of these teams seeing these prospects come up.
Speaking of which, I do want to take a moment here to mention our sponsor again, the wonderful Fantrax. Just finishing up our Highlander draft here. Well, that's, you know, that was, I guess, mine. But we were doing that on Fantrax, and it was crazy because we have some open universe spots. So we wanted to, well, I didn't want to. I'm by no means commissioner of this, of course. James Anderson and all those guys over there were nice enough to invite me in, but they have an open universe slot. So people are drafting college players. I was thinking about drafting a Japanese import, but there just doesn't seem to be anybody too crazy coming in the next year or two. So, but I still had the chance to do that on Fantrax, which is incredible. So the amount of options that Fantrax has is just out of this world, absolutely free as well. You can sign up today. And if you do that, you will be entered in for that game day experience that they still have going on. I think we've mentioned that a few times here. I think you still have a chance for a week or two to enter up, and that is going to enter you and your entire league mate to win tickets to any MLB regular season game for you and your entire league, including airfare and stuff to get over there. So wherever that game might be, if you want to check it out with your league mates, you get to take your league there, and you don't even have to enter a new account. You can join a new league in any of the leagues that you're in right now. You'll be entered automatically. You don't have to do a thing. I mean, what a nice way to start the season here with Fantrax. So again, if you do need to sign up, please, 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 if you could use www.fantrax.com/prospects1500 so that they know that you're hearing this through that medium, and you know, we can build our relationship, because if there's one platform and one company I would like to build a relationship with through this podcast, it's definitely Fantrax. So sign up today, join another league or two. I mean, who doesn't want to have a last minute draft right before the season starts, right, David?
Oh yeah, I had two simultaneously on Sunday night. That was not great.
And I do want to actually go over that Highlander draft with you, because I did draft a lot of prospects, and but I just, we don't have time on this episode, and the draft's still technically going, so we'll save that for next week, I think. But let's get on, and I skipped a lot of news and notes, so yeah. We'll just have to make more podcasts, so I'm sorry.
Oh,
sorry,
darn. About that, guys. Oh.
More content for you. But let's go ahead and talk about bold predictions, because that's what you do when it's 2 days before opening day. All right. I think that's what you do. So I was listening to that episode that we did last year about this time. I think it was April 7th. We actually had done it. You and I had both gone to opening day. I went to the Angels game. You went to your Brewers. The COVID restrictions were still in place. And I was remembering a story that, you know, it took me 2 hours to get a beer. But anyway, we won't have to deal with that this year, I don't think. But our bold predictions were pretty good. They weren't too bold, I guess, in terms of the divisions. Like, we picked our teams. You had the Brewers winning it all.
Yes.
Didn't quite get there. They did.
Not quite.
You were right about the division. I had.
Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, I had the Padres making the playoffs, which they did not. Oops. But we got the division winners right. I mean, the Braves, the Brewers, we were right. I think we both picked the Dodgers. I think I might have picked the Padres. We were both wrong with that one. That was about the only one we got like completely off. We didn't see the Giants coming at all.
No.
I think I had you had the White Sox going, I think, or I something like that. But
yeah, I had the White Sox. I think I had a Brewers White Sox World Series, and both got bounced in the LDS.
Yeah, but they made in the playoffs. That was pretty good. We got the Astros right. I think I had the Angels making it when they shouldn't have. But anyway, pretty good. Our bold predictions were they were quite bold. I don't know. You probably don't remember this, but you said Travis Shaw was going to hit 30 home runs.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Remember that. I only remembered my good ones, which I said Vladdy would have a monster season and hit 330, which was pretty damn good. He hit 311, but he did have a monster season. So I
take that as a win.
I was pretty happy with that because we didn't know Vlad was a monster quite yet at that point. We knew he was great, but not a monster, which is what he is. So let's go over these divisions. We'll go over it quickly because again, we're not baseball guys, we're prospect guys, and we have a lot of bold predictions to go with prospects, but I think we just owe it to the industry to give our picks, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We got to pick six teams to make the playoffs. Okay. I don't even really understand how it's going to work until I see it. So let's just pick our division winners and then you pick three wildcard teams. And then we won't worry about who plays who because there's buys now. not used to it. Sorry.
Yeah.
But then we'll give our NLCS, ALCS picks. Okay. So we have, would you like to start in the American League or the National League, my friend?
Let's do American League.
Okay, yeah, sounds good. Okay, we'll go with the AL West. Who do you have winning in the AL West?
I have the Seattle Mariners winning the AL West. I have them finally breaking that drought. I believe in them.
I do too. I was hoping either A, you would agree with me, which is fantastic you did that, or you'd pick the Astros, and then I could say, why the heck do you like the Astros this year? They lost everybody. Like, the Astros lost a ton. So I think that... So that team is nasty. They're definitely going to – I think they're going to win that as well. What about in the Central?
AL Central, I'm going to have the Chicago White Sox winning it again.
Yeah, that's pretty chalky. I think the Twins made a nice push that I didn't – but they were so far behind for me that I agree with the White Sox. Okay, the tricky – those – I mean, I think the AL West might be a surprise to some. I think a lot of people still take the Astros. I think I saw – ESPN had predicted the Mariners were going to lose 90 games or something. It was something nuts.
What?
Yeah, it was crazy. So maybe it is a big surprise, but we know that they're awesome. They are. What about the AL East? This is a fascinating one here.
Yeah, very, very crowded division, but I am going to go with the Tampa Bay Rays. Again, it's Tampa Bay. I don't know. Somehow they just keep on doing it.
Yeah. Fair enough. I mean, I do have the Rays making the playoffs, but I'm going to have the Red Sox winning the division. I just think Trevor Story puts them over the edge, and they're going to have a great season.
They need Toronto is close, man. Toronto is close.
I have four teams making the playoffs from the East.
Wow.
I put all three wildcard teams. I don't even know if that's possible, but I put the Blue Jays, Yankees, and Rays as the wildcard teams.
Wow. That is bold.
That's a bold prediction. All right, our first bold. Well, I think that those three teams are better than any of the other teams in the other divisions. I don't think that's crazy.
No. No, I don't think that's too crazy.
Yeah, who do you have as your three wild card teams?
I'm going to have Toronto, for one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think Minnesota is going to make it. Okay. And
they're pitching. I just don't know where their pitching's coming from.
Yeah, but I mean, they could also, get upgrades midseason, and maybe have some good luck there. I don't know.
I actually have a great Twins pitcher in my bold predictions. You'll never see it coming, so
probably not.
But
the final spot. This might count as a bold prediction.
Mm-hmm.
The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
I wanted
claiming
to.
That final wild card.
I wanted to as well, and then I looked at their pitching staff, and it's the same thing. It's just so brutal. if one injury happens, which Syndergaard, Otani, let's be honest, like I love Otani, but that guy has a lot of ways to get hurt beyond just pitching, which is scary.
Yeah.
Because he could be stealing second base and
he's the only pitcher that still is going to hit.
Yeah. So it's so fascinating. So fascinating. But love the Angels. Everything goes according to plan. They might win the World Series, but it has to go exactly according to plan. Okay, fair enough. So you don't have the Yankees making the playoffs then is what you're saying.
No, I'm not super high on the Yankees. I mean, where did they get better?
Yeah, I mean, Josh Donaldson, I don't know if it makes him better or not, but
that was a nice if he's pick. Healthy.
And you get a full season of Joey Gallo and Rizzo.
Yeah.
There's no holes in the lineup. The pitching, again, is tough. The bullpen is sick. That's what got them into the playoffs for me is their bullpen is so good.
Yeah.
Chapman just, I don't know how you hit Chapman. But yeah, fair enough. I mean, that's a good point. They're definitely older, and I think that's scary.
Yeah. But
let's just move on, get past the storm of the wild card and the play-in games and the buys. Who do you have in the ALCS?
In the ALCS, let's see, I got my two teams are going to be, I'm going to have Tampa Bay in there because Tampa Bay. And I'm going to double down on the White Sox again because why not?
Okay, very nice. I have the White Sox in as well against the Blue Jays.
Oh, okay, like, very nice. If the
Blue Jays can get in, they're going to be pretty nasty because of all these teams I'm looking at, like with, you know, they don't have the ace, the bona fide ace. I mean, the Yankees have Cole, which if they get into playoffs could be dangerous. But, like, the Red Sox probably don't have the bona fide ace. The Rays, I guess, you know, who knows what they do. And then you got Giolito, I guess, is good. But, I mean, Robbie Ray, I like him a lot. So they just get through the playoffs in my book. So who do you have going to the World Series then?
Tampa Bay.
Okay, I have the White Sox going.
All right.
So I'm doubling down a little bit on the White Sox as well. All right, let's move on over to the NL. Do we, I mean, you know my pick for the NL East, I assume, and I know your pick for the NL Central, but we should probably put it on the record. I have the Braves winning the NL East.
I have the Brewers winning the NL Central.
And I have the Brewers winning the NL Central, and?
And I have the Braves winning the NL East.
That's beautiful. As it should be.
Yeah.
I think the same goes for the NL West. Right.
Yeah. Dodgers.
Chalk. Very chalky here. I think the other, you know, the AL is a little bit more open with those divisions. So, yeah, Braves, Brewers, Dodgers. So you got to pick three more teams to make the playoffs. I struggled with this one a little bit. I just think they're so much worse than these three teams. But
yeah.
What do you got?
All right. My wild card teams, I got the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
I got the Padres. Mm-hmm. Making it this year. And to fill out the field, I am going to have. let's go to the Phillies.
Okay.
Because why not?
I had the Phillies too. Then I crossed them out and I put the Cardinals.
Yeah. The Cardinals have a way of just being annoying like that.
Yep. I have the Giants and Padres as well. And then I looked at the Cardinals, and I just didn't – and their pitching is the weakness. I guess that starting rotation doesn't really scare you, but it was – I mean, the Phillies defense, I just can't get behind backing that defense. It's going to be so funny to watch.
Yeah, but that offense, though, if you hit enough, defense doesn't really matter.
Yeah, and their pitching staff's pretty darn good too. But, man, you're going to have – you have to play Schwarber or Castellanos. You have the Alec Baum at third. It's just – it's really bad. So – I had them. I did have them. I will give that to you, but then I crossed them out and said Cardinals.
Yeah.
Okay. All that stuff by the by. We have the NLCS. People aren't going to like mine, I don't think. But what is your NLCS?
My NLCS is the Brewers, shockingly, against the Dodgers, shockingly.
Yeah. I have a third straight Dodgers-Braves NLCS. That'll be fun for everybody.
Hell yeah.
But I do not have the Braves moving on.
Really?
No, I think the Dodgers are just too good. So I have the Dodgers going to the World Series.
Yeah. Are your Brewers in a 7-game series, anything can happen, man.
Well, we've already done it. We've already proven it. Love it. Yeah. I just don't think we can do it 2 years in a row.
Yeah. Hey, it's a completely different year. Yeah. Completely They're different gonna, team. Who knows?
I think that's also the point. You know, you played all those games last year, emotional games, that it catches up to you there in the end. I mean, to make the NLCS after the World Series and your third straight NLCS is by no means a failure. So, but do you think the Brewers have enough to beat the Dodgers?
In a given seven-game series, yeah, I think they do. I think they got the pitching to match up with and beat just about anybody, even the Dodgers. You know, even the lineup that they have now with Freddie Freeman and all those guys, you know, in their lineup, it's ridiculous. But with the rotation the Brewers have, I mean, you go through Burns, Woodruff, Peralta, then you mix in a Hauser or a Lauer, and you got Ashby that can fill in as well. You got Williams and Hader in the pen. That pitching can take on anybody, no matter how star-studded their lineup is. So, yeah, you can call me a homer if you want, but I'm still sticking with it.
So they're going to beat the Dodgers. I just don't know if you can score runs. That's the thing. You got to score some runs.
If Yelch and Hira bounce back to what they're supposed to be, then
Hira?
Then
we'll be fine. Hira, though. I mean, Yelich, I'll give you, but I mean, if you're holding some hope on Hira.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily a holding hope, but like when he's right, he can be a 300 hitter with 30 home runs in a season.
I hope that's
you know, if he's right, he can do that. Now, I mean, you also got Rowdy Tellez that you're also kind of believing in. And, you know, if neither of those guys pan out, they can try to get a first baseman at the deadline, you know.
So. Okay, so you got Brewers, White Sox. Are you going to take the Brewers again?
I got Brewers, Rays.
Oh, Brewers, Rays. I have the White Sox. I have White Sox, Dodgers. That's right. You didn't pick the same.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So, man, that is tough. But do I continue to be a homer?
It didn't work last year is all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's true. It did not.
I'd rather be wrong and have them win than to wait.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Rays are just – God, the Rays are so loaded. I think I'm going to have to go with Tampa.
All right. Fair enough. That means that you have a good chance to win. Now you can't jinx yourself. That's good.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. I have the Dodgers winning. It's not very – I'm shocking. Just going with the odds on here. That team is disgusting. Their pitching is not as good, though. That's for sure. But who cares with that lineup? 1-9 with a DH now. Bullpen sucks, though. We took their closer, which was cool.
Oh, yeah. Now they got Kimbrel, though.
Yeah.
5 years ago, I'd have been really scared.
You know, I saw Kimbrel the first time in Dodger Stadium. He came out. I think he made his debut in Dodger Stadium. I might be incorrect. Somebody might need to look that up. But I think he made his debut at the game I was at. He was like, you know, the sixth inning guy at that point, just making, you know, didn't know who he was. But I remember coming up. I was like, hey, glad to have you up, Greg. And then, anyway, the point is, that's really hilarious that those two are on those teams now, and the Dodgers are loaded. The problem is with the damn Dodgers is they have so many prospects to go fix anything that happens. You know, they got a loaded system and they have all the money in the world, so they'll
absolutely. Yeah, they're annoying.
All right, let's go ahead and they're very annoying. That's why we beat them. Let's go ahead and take a break right here. We'll come back. I want to go over some award predictions, and then that'll lead us into the Rookie of the Years, which I think is a nice segue then into all our prospect predictions, and I got some crazy ones. I'm not gonna lie, I went kind of crazy on some of these, so I hope you have some crazy ones too. We'll be right back after this. Is Futures Focus, David Gasper. My name is Alex Sanchez. We'll be right back. And we're back. Futures Focus here with you. My name is Alex Sanchez. David Gasper joining me. This is a podcast brought to you by Prospects 1500. We have a World Series predictions. That was kind of fun. Always good to go over. I don't know if last year we did our MVP and Cy Young predict. I figured we could do that really quickly. Lead on to the Rookie of the Year, which then gets us a nice segue to those prospects. So I'll tell you my MVP and Cy Young, and then you tell me yours.
Okay.
So in the AL, I have a guy. I'm all in on this guy. It's Rafael Devers. I think he's going to win MVP.
Oh, that is a little bold there. Perhaps.
I'm not trying to be bold on this. I genuinely believe it. I think he is in for like a 45 homer season and hitting over 300 and just like, I mean, hey, you've seen his spring, right? It's disgusting.
Yeah.
So I think, and he's at that age where it's like breakout city alert time. He's on a great team. He's going to have a bunch of RBIs and have a bunch of runs scored. Not a lot of defensive value for sure, but I don't think we care about that yet too much in the MVP vote. So, and my Cy Young, Gerrit Cole. I looked around the league for a Cy Young, and in the AL at least, it was very difficult to be confident in anybody. Like, you could go Robbie Ray again, I felt, but like, there's just not a lot of aces in the AL I found after looking through this. I'm probably forgetting somebody, like a Giolito, I guess, maybe something like that. But I have Gerrit Cole winning the Cy Young. I feel like he bounces back, just dominates. So who do you got?
So for my American League MVP, I am going with Vlad Guerrero Jr. Because, I mean, he came so close last year. If it wasn't for Shohei Ohtani having an absolutely ridiculous, redonkulous, whatever, however you want to describe it, season, he would have won in any other normal year. I don't know if Ohtani can repeat that type of performance, both offensively and pitching. So I'm going to go with Vladdy Jr. for MVP. And then Cy Young. I mean, it's so tough. It's
very tough in the AL.
Yeah, it's. I really don't know like who kind of to believe. I mean, yeah, you got Giolito, you got Cole, but I think I may end up going with Robbie Ray once again.
Back to back. I don't know. Yeah. He's been so inconsistent. I can't imagine that he puts forth that year, but I love
Who knows?
I
mean, maybe he's figured it out.
Yeah. He's so fun to watch with those tight pants and his
grind. Oh, yeah.
Gotta love it.
I mean, otherwise, Shane Bieber is another candidate now.
Yeah,
now
that's a nice healthy one. Yeah, there's a nice one. That's interesting. Yeah, it just seems so obvious to do Gerrit Cole. So I go obvious with that one. But yeah, with Ohtani, I just wanted to mention that really quick. Like, if he puts up the exact same numbers, for sure, MVP again. But there's a great chance he doesn't put up those types of numbers, but puts up great numbers. Like, maybe he hits 34 home runs and has, like, a 3.8 ERA or something. The fact that we've seen it before, I think he might lose some votes. And if Vladdy has a good season, I think they'll be back on kind of, like, equal playing field, especially if the team, you know, the Blue Jays are having a great season, the Angels maybe aren't. You know, I think that might come into play now, too, because with Ohtani, it was so obvious. We've never seen anything like that. You had to reward him. All right, I'm going to let you go first here. I think I know who your Cy Young Award candidate is, or at least one of three possible choices. but I'm interested to see who you think the MVP, because it's not coming from the Brewers.
MVP? Yeah, probably not. It would take a miracle for something like that to happen. I mean, I don't think Yelich is going to get back to that kind of point right away here, and Adamas is not close enough to being at that level, I don't think, yet. So yeah, my Cy Young is going to be Corbin Burnes. Again, I've been on Corbin Burnes Cy Young hype train for years, and it finally came to fruition last year, so I can finally pull the I told you so on everyone.
That's nice.
Got to take your victory laps when you can, man. I think he's definitely got a good chance of repeating again, but also other good candidates there: Brandon Woodruff, Freddy Peralta. And Freddy Peralta is on your team in the Highlander Invitational Dynasty team there. So you're on the Freddy Peralta Cy Young hype train.
I did. I had him on here on my list, and then I crossed him out for somebody else. Oops.
Oh.
So runner up. Pretty good. I'll take that. My Cy Young is Walker Buehler.
Of course.
Yeah. My MVP is not as chalky, though, I don't think. My MVPs, I guess, are not as chalky.
No, yeah? Who's your MVP?
I got Matt Olson.
Of course you do.
But this one is not as a homer pick. And, I say that with it's impossible to come out truthfully on that. But yeah. The things that he did, you have to remember he did it in a worse lineup. There's no doubt about that, in Oakland. And he did it in one of the worst places to hit in the major leagues, in Oakland. And he still put up like close to 6 WAR and incredible stuff. So that porch in right field is going to give him another 5 home runs easily, I'd imagine. He's going to hit better because he won't foul out. He hits a foul ball 20 rows up in every other stadium, and it's caught in Oakland. So I think his numbers go up, and they were already insane numbers. There's your MVP. Plus, it was also kind of difficult because, really, it's Bryce Harper, and it's like, who else?
Juan Soto, who is my pick.
Well,
I know his team sucks.
Yeah, that's the problem with that. Yeah, but yeah, Juan, I mean, obviously Soto.
But he's Juan Soto.
Yeah. No, I mean, I get that point. I don't know if you think the league's ready to do that. You know, and he'd have to be so.
Well, I mean, last year, look at the 3 MVP finalists last year National League. They all missed the playoffs. Didn't the AL candidates miss the playoffs as well?
Yeah, but like
the MVPs went to 2 non-playoff players.
Yeah, but they were also in it. Like those teams were close enough. Whereas like the Nationals are going to be.
Nationals weren't, and Soto was still there.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. The Nationals are going to be well out of the race, I think. So you're giving it to a last place team, almost. That's what's tough.
Yeah, but I mean it's Giancarlo Stanton did it a couple years ago when he was on the Marlins.
Yeah, there's definitely precedent for it, and that's a good pick. I just go right to it. It has to be a decent team, and then if it's not, I just eliminate them. But yeah, obviously Juan Soto is probably the best hitter on the planet.
Honestly. Yeah.
Okay, so Juan Soto is going to win your MVP because it does get hard. Like because I looked at Harper, and I think the Phillies are a good team, and I looked at the Braves, who are obviously a good team, and I don't think Acuña has a great chance to win it too, because he's going to be back sooner. But it's kind of the opposite of the AL Cy Young, right? There's just not a lot to choose from.
Yeah, dude, I was in a just like a regular fantasy league, like a redraft draft the other day. Ronald Acuña was sitting there in the 5th round, and I'm just like, guys, I'm taking the steal of the draft right here, boom, and I took Acuña.
Yeah.
And I could not be happier, man. I mean, he may have to be on the IL for the first, like, what, month or so?
Not even, yeah. He said he's ready now.
Yeah, so, I mean, getting him the in the 5th?
Yeah, the DH, you're missing,
In a 10-team league?
I would say he's back by April 25th. That'd be my date.
Yeah.
He's back before May. So yeah. you'll miss a chunk, for sure.
Yeah.
He might not run as much this year. But
yeah, but it's a 10-team league. It's not that deep. So
anyway,
I can pick someone up in the meantime.
Do you have Rookie of the Year picked out?
Oh, man. This is so, the American League Rookie of the Year is so tough.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. But I think I just got to lean Bobby Witt.
Bobby Witt, great.
I'm all on the Bobby Witt train.
Yeah. So here's what I did with my picks. I picked who I really do think would win it, and I picked Julio Rodriguez because with a full year, I just think we're going to see something incredible. But what I did is my runner-ups, I went bold. I went super bold for my runner-ups. So I want to talk about that after. But who do you have winning it in the NL? That's a little trickier in the NL.
Yeah. Let's see. Who do we got as the rookies coming up here in the National League? We got Green and Lodolo in Cincinnati. Who else do we got here?
Well, as you're thinking, I will tell you mine because I had already predicted this in my 5 years look ahead or 10-year look ahead article I did on the site. Probably
10 years ago.
No, I did. I looked into the future, 10 years into the future. About the Padres and what they were at. And I had Abrams winning the Rookie of the Year this year. So I'm going to stay with that and say he wins it.
Okay. Fair enough. I think I'm going to end up going with I think I got to go with Hunter Green. I mean, you got 102 mile an hour fastball. You know, he's got all the stuff there. I mean, coming into that rotation, he's going to get the opportunity to play all season long in that rotation. I think he's going to put up numbers good enough to kind of vault himself into that rookie of the year conversation.
I have a bold prediction here. Like I said, the runner up, I have the Reds pitcher as well, except it's not Hunter Green.
It's Nick Lodolo.
And it's not Nick Lodolo.
What?
It's River San Martin is going to win, be the runner up rookie of the year in the NL. It's a bold one. I went bold. Wow. There.
Yeah, that is bold there.
Yeah. He's an interesting prospect. He's still a prospect, a little older, of course, but lefty, doesn't throw hard at all, but he has a funky delivery. It's weird. It comes at you quick. He had a great little debut there at the end of 2021. I don't think we've mentioned his name once on this podcast, but took him in the Highlander Dynasty Invitational. So it's a bold one. And my bold one in the AL as well, Josh Winder is going to be runner up in the AL Cy Young.
Really?
AL, not the Cy Young. AL Rookie of the Year, Josh Winder. So those really? Are bold ones. I went bold. I'm going
That's
bold.
Very bold.
Yeah, thank you. Just think maybe Bobby does like a, you know, 260, 20 and 20, and Josh Winder comes up and wins 15 games. I don't know. They might give it to him second.
Okay, are you using game wins as a stat for a pitcher?
No, of course I'm not, but I think the voters are.
I feel like that's not been much of a thing recently. I feel like most of the voters have kind of been against that. But even over Torkelson, Julio, over Rutschman.
I have Julio winning it.
Okay, but still over Torkelson, over Witt, over Adley, over all these guys over there. Yeah. Josh Lowe.
I just feel like there's going to be a rookie that comes up that we don't expect to be better than all those guys, and I picked a kind of a crazy one. I'll admit that for sure. I like Winder a lot. I like both of these guys a lot.
All right, man.
So there you go. All right. That's just the beginning, because I have a lot more of those. If you like those two, I got some more crazy ones.
Nah, I'm good.
All right. Well, this has been the Futures Focus podcast. We'll be right back. Rookie of the year, there you go. I don't know how else to organize this. I have a bunch of prospects that just kind of came to me that I thought we might talk about. Do you just want to hear them, or do you have some
yeah, man, let's do it.
Okay, you can critique it. Remember, some of these are bold and some of them aren't as bold, I don't think, but I'm gonna piss off some people.
Oh, that's always fun.
All right. These two guys have starting positions locked up at a premium position for their team, competitive teams, by the way. Bryson Stott and Jeremy Pena. One of them will be out of a job by June.
Ooh. I like that.
I never really liked
that. Do you have a prediction on which, or do you want me to guess which?
No, that's the prediction. I'm just hedging my bets a little bit.
Okay. Of those two, I would guess Stott will be out of a job. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the Phillies have just kind of shown a little impatience in recent years with some of their young guys.
Yes. And a little bit longer, but I just feel like one of those are bound to just not be great because they haven't had monster seasons in the minors, you know? So I feel like such a big jump, and I know they had monster springs for sure. I mean, they had incredible springs, so that's why I had to go one of the two. All right.
Yeah.
You ready for another one?
I'm ready for another one.
Okay. I have a couple ones that you probably, you know, prospects we've talked about a few times, so I'll mix them in here. I think those are surprising ones right there. Here's one, a guy you know I like. Brian Rocchio will play in 100-plus games this year.
Okay. I could see that. I could see that happening.
I told
Cleveland
you.
Cleveland needs some help.
Wander Franco Light over there in Cleveland.
Yeah. Will they have the courage to call him up for 100 games, though?
Well, we didn't mention Lavastida, the catcher, also being brought up with zero games experience. I shouldn't say that. I don't know.
Well, Luke Maley is hurt and Josh Naylor is hurt.
Yeah, like, let's say they deal Jose Ramirez and it's Rokio time after he's hitting, 400 in AAA or whatever, wherever he starts.
Man, can you imagine the prospect haul that Jose Ramirez would bring?
Yeah. He's an incredible player.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. Apparently your Padres are going after him.
Yeah, I think it's too late now. I think at this point you're going to wait now. But
I mean, that would certainly cost you Hassell or Abrams.
Yeah, for sure. I think it would.
If not both.
Who were they? They were for Brian Reynolds. There was like the offer kind of leaked out that it's either Hassell or it's Gore and no, it's either Abrams. What was it? Shoot. No, I don't think Abrams was in it. I think it was Gore and somebody else. Oh gosh, I should have had
Campesano?
That.
Campesano.
No, it was somebody better than. The names that are coming to my mind, I don't think. Mears. Anyway, I'll try to find that. But anyway, the point is, they wanted a haul for Brian Reynolds.
Right.
So I can't imagine what Jose Ramirez would be. All right, we'll go with one that's a little negative. Anthony Volpe struggles in AA and falls into the top 60 and 70 range.
Oh, okay. Okay. I could see that. I mean, he succeeded all down in A ball, but AA is really kind of the true test for a prospect.
Yeah. And I'm not saying this, the shine comes off entirely, but we got people talking about promotions this year for this guy. And I love what I've seen so far. There's no doubt about it. He gets a lot of high marks for his work ethic and stuff like that, which I think in the long run, he'll be very successful. But I just don't think it's going to be this like straightforward meteor type of prospect coming right up and helping this year. So he struggles a little bit in AA and falls into our 60-70 range and go buy low at that point, I think, is what I'll be saying.
Do you want a similar type of bold prediction from me?
I would like to. Yeah, I need a break.
Yeah, this is going to be I may also get some hate for this, but Julio Rodriguez is going to initially struggle with the Mariners here in his first year. Kind of like Jared Kelnick. I mean, he got brought up, had a whole bunch of hype. He struggled a lot when he came up. And I think Julio, I mean, they've been, aggressive with Julio there. I think he didn't play in AAA at all, right?
Yeah, Julio did.
Oh, he did? Or was a handful of games? I don't know. I thought he was, still can.
I'll tell you exactly what.
I forgot the number of games there.
It was a very small amount, no doubt, but he did make it up. Let me click on his name here.
Like the end of the season there.
No, maybe not. Maybe I was wrong. Yeah, just AA. Hit 362 in AA as a 20-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, those numbers are still ridiculous, but... I think making that jump, there's a chance he could struggle initially here for a little bit, maybe not do quite as well as everyone is thinking that he's going to do initially. So, there could be that kind of initial slow progression before he gets his gets himself settled at the big league level.
And let's not forget, Vlad and Wander, which were both, I would say, generational prospects. They came up and didn't have, that 300-plus batting average with all these home runs. They had great debuts, good debuts for sure. No doubt. They didn't struggle, but they weren't prime. So the odds are that one of these big three or four guys are going to have kind of just a very rude awakening their first year. And there's also good odds that one of them is going to have just an MVP type of season as well, I think. So they're just incredible talents. Fantastic. I like that. I mean, I don't like it for my rookie of the year prediction, but it'd be interesting to see it happen because he's never struggled for a second.
The most struggle he's had is when he was an A ball and hit 293 in 67 games
as an 18-year-old.
Yeah. So
he is so special, man. I've been watching and more and more of him now in the spring training. And I love Bobby Witt and I think he's very special too, but bat only, I think Julio is number one. prospect. But the fact that Witt will play an above average premium position is why I still have him.
Well, I think also it's that Witt was closer. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true. So you knew. So I mean, when they graduated, it's like, oh yeah, he would have been moved up, but Julio's just coming on too fast.
Can't wait. Can't wait.
Can't wait.
I got a few more, if you don't mind. And
go ahead, man.
You can just jump on in there anytime. But here we go. All right. I got to do my the guy you know I'm going to talk about, Michael Harris. He's going to make his debut this year.
Oh, it's big time.
I think that's kind of bold, as he's quite young. But he looks very ready. I mean, the bats he's taking, and it's quite fascinating. I saw some, you know, some full at bats. You don't really get those same sort of looks. And the way he can go to the opposite field means he's never going to just have this struggle. And there's a great chance that, you know, one of Marcell Ozuna, Adam Duvall, Eddie Rosario just flame out. Like, let's be honest. Love those guys in terms of their ceiling, but their floors are all quite low as well for a championship team. So, and the Braves do this. They'll try guys young. They'll bring Hayward. You know, they brought Hayward up. They've tried prospects that flamed out because of, you know, put Charles Thomas out there. That's a nice name drop for some Braves fans.
Oh, wow.
But I feel like if they think he's ready, he'll come up. I don't think they have any problem bringing him up. So we're going to see Michael Harris this year is what I'm saying.
All right. I got a bold one here coming back at you. No, another kind of debut piece, but I did this also for my Brewers Bowl predictions that I did it over at Reviewing the Brew. But Bryce Terang, Ethan Small, and Garrett Mitchell all make their MLB debuts this season. That's 2018, 2019, and 2020 first-round picks for the Brewers. I have them all making their debuts. Ethan Small, that's not really a surprise. Craig Counsell has said that Small is going to make starts for them this year. Terang, he's in AAA. He's blocked positionally by Willie Adames and Colton Wong and Luis Urias. But I think there's going to be an opportunity for him to come on up. And Garrett Mitchell, I know some people have kind of soured on Mitchell because, you know, he went to AA last year and didn't do that well, dealt with some injuries. You know, when he did play, it wasn't super great. But I think it's going to be a really strong bounce back year for Mitchell. I mean, he was dealing with like strep throat, like really severe strep throat and like, you know, some illnesses and stuff. So I think he's going to come back healthy this year and he's just going to dominate and be that prospect that we all saw of him in college and, you know, back in the draft and in high A. So I think that could push him to perhaps a late season promotion to Milwaukee as well. So all three of those guys making it this year is what I got.
Yeah, very nice. I mean, those three names you mentioned on the infield, sort of like those outfielders I named for the Braves, like they've been good lately, but they've also shown that they can be quite awful at the major league level. And, you know, there's a great chance one of them just doesn't have it anymore. I don't know which one it would be, but
yeah.
And then boom, Terang's up just like that. Or an injury too. I mean, that's just the other thing with, you know, these guys.
Yeah.
Can get hurt at any moment. So very nice. All right. I would love to see Garrett Mitchell this year. I think that's an interesting.
Me too.
Yeah. All right. I got a few more here. We're going to go some bold ones. I got two really bold ones, I think, here.
Oh boy.
Actually, they're all bold. I'm looking at these. These are all pretty crazy. So don't kill me too much. Kevin Alcantara, Cubs prospect, 18-year-old guy. Will be a consensus top 20 prospect by the end of the year.
What? You're crazy.
I love this guy. I think he is amazing. He's going to be a top 20. Don't forget, though, before you get all crazy, so many guys are going to graduate.
Oh, yeah.
Like, literally
and half. That's true. It's a good point.
The top 50 is going to graduate this year. And so I think there's going to be a lot of openings. And I think that Alcantara is going to do some crazy good things. I'm just very, very in on him. So top 20 prospect. What about this one? Corbin Carroll produces more WAR than Alec Thomas, Geraldo Perdomo, and Seth Beer. ... combined.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
You really had to add it there with the combined.
Yeah, that's the bold part. I don't think it's very too bold until I add that combined part.
Yeah, that does make it bold.
So, rationale behind this, war, that's the key thing. I don't think Seth Beer is going to get too high of war, even if he hits 25 home runs, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to be an empty 25, and there's no defensive value. Perdomo, I still like him, but hit or miss on whether he's even a major leaguer at this point. The other one is, then it's basically like Alec Thomas, like versus Corbin Carroll. Do like Alec Thomas, but let's just say Carroll comes up in June and just has an awesome debut. I think it's pretty possible that this happens.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see it if the right circumstances line up there.
Yeah. Again, bold predictions. Liam, just gotta say that. I got three more. So if you got any more, and I know you had a bunch at over at the Brewers, you had some Brewers predictions, but if you got to throw any more out,
let me I do not have any more prospect bold predictions here.
Okay. We'll go rapid fire. Well, not too rapid fire. We still got some time, but we talked about him a little bit earlier. Caleb Killian will dominate before getting shut down in quotation marks. So he's going to come up later, going to dominate, and then the Cubs are going to shut him down because they have nothing to play for. But we're going to get a nice glimpse of him in the future. Like dominate, 0.9 ERA, something like that.
Oh, wow.
Something like that. Like, it's going to be incredible. But he's going to get shut down, so we won't get to see him all.
All right. Because
why would he pitch in meaningless games for the Cubs in
September?
Okay, I have your minor league home run leader here.
Oh, boy.
Minor league home run leader. I don't think he's going to get called up, so I think he stays in the minors for sure because he's on a team that if he's getting called up on this team, then a lot of things went wrong. It is Everson Pereira leads the minors in home runs.
Wow.
And again, I'm not pulling these names out of nowhere. His batted ball profile is the thing of legend. So if you ever go and get a chance to check it out, instead of doing that, why don't you just listen to me as I should have had this pulled up. Well, let me tell you my last one as well. It's another Yankees one. I can't believe I did another Yankees one. But Jason Dominguez finishes the season hitting 220.
Ooh.
Yeah, screw you, Dominguez.
The Martian.
Yeah. Disappointing season for him. Anyway, okay, I have these numbers up, by the way. Okay, so he had a 25% K rate, which is not bad, by the way, Everson Pereira. And he had a hard hit rate of over 45%, which is insane. He had a 47% hard hit strength on his batted ball profile. Like, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And he hit 20 home runs last year in less than 300 plate appearances. So that's why I didn't randomly pick that guy up. I mean, his batted profile suggests that he can hit like 40 home runs in the minors. Will he or not? I mean, that's the bold prediction part. But
I've got a different minor league home run leader for you, and this may not surprise you at all. Joey Weimer.
Ooh.
Hit 27 last year. He swings the bat like it's freaking a toothpick. He swings it so hard. And he can hit the ball 500 miles, and he's built like a lumberjack, and he hit 27 last year. It's insane, the incredible raw power that he has.
Mm-hmm. So love it, because I love him as well. For fantasy purposes, I mean, there's not many better potential ceiling guys than him. But if he is doing that, I think that he would get the call before Garrett Mitchell in the Brewers, you know? His path would be, I mean, he's 23.
Potentially. I mean, he was a college guy just like Mitchell was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're in the same draft. We'll kind of see what kind of needs arise. I mean, Weimer's more of a right fielder. He's got a cannon for an arm. And Mitchell's more of a center fielder. They both have really good speed. It really kind of could go either way. I mean, I'm a big believer in both. So it could be a number of different ways there.
Yeah. Fantastic. All right. There's our bold predictions. It is time. It is, you know, we're recording this on April 5th. April 7th, just a couple of days away, we get minor league baseball starting up. We have major league baseball, which is almost minor league baseball in a sense because we have so many prospects making their debut. We'll make a podcast again of going over those debuts. I'm sure we'll overanalyze everything, but we're going to have major league at-bats for all of our favorite prospects. We've been waiting for years and years to come up. How exciting. David, thanks for joining me here. What are you doing for opening day, by the way?
So on opening day on the 7th here, the Brewers are on the road. So I'm just going to kind of be watching it from home, drinking a beer. But at the Brewers home opener, I got tickets. I'm going to be there. So it's going to be a fun time.
Yeah, I think it should be a national holiday, but,
me too.
A lot of people do not think that, going to the Braves Dodgers game when they come over here.
Nice. 18th.
Yeah, so I'm got I have you know that meme where Futurama guy is holding up money saying take it, you know, take my money.
Yeah. Shut up and take my money, yeah.
Yeah, shut up and take my money. The Braves released the gold outlined World Series jerseys. So
oh yeah.
Obviously I have to pay whatever the price is for that. And yeah, I will be wearing that.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Well, thank you so much for listening. This is Futures Focus. This podcast brought to you by Prospects 1500. My name, Alex Sanchez. David Gasper joining me as always. Happy opening day, everybody. We'll see you after this weekend and go over everything. Futures Focus is out.